Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Guard Up Next podcast. I'm your interim host today in place of Apollo Cat Reed, regular Joe, here with my partner in crime, Rick the Ruler. Rick, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How you feeling after tonight's win against the Nets?
Can't complain, my brother. Can't complain. Finally beat these guys after trying and failing 9 straight times.
Jeez.
So it's been a little while. Been a little while. So I want to jump this off by just getting the bad stuff out the way.
Okay. You want to start negative and then go positive. All right.
Yeah, I just want to get it out the way because
what got under your skin? What happened?
We got to talk about RJ Barrett.
Let's do it.
I don't even know, like, it's just his struggles. I mean, he only took 8 shots tonight. He was 2 of 8. But, like, his struggle to, like, create, right, when he's put in these situations where he has to create his own shot, he has to do something, make something happen on his own. It's just, it's not pretty, man. Like, he got isolated a few times tonight. I mean, and Nick Claxton is a hell of a defender. Yeah. I just want to say that. Like, not just interior. Like, he's lean enough that he's extremely mobile on the perimeter. But, like, RJ just, I mean, you've seen a few times. He would back it out and then try to drive. Wasn't there. End up kicking it out. I mean, but kicking it out, not like an effective kick out. You know, like a kick out, like, I'm gonna drop this grenade off on somebody. You know, the famous Julius grenade.
Yeah, he threw one to Grimes tonight. Grimes, he don't hide his screw face. Like, when he upset,
he really does. He really does.
I do walk all the way up court with that face. Like, yo. But back to Barrett. I don't know. Like, I always feel like Barrett always struggles because he does not want to shoot anything but a 3-point. He'll drive, but he won't. I shouldn't say that, because he does have that turnaround jump shot that I feel like is his most effective move when he can't drive. But he didn't try that tonight, and he got too much into foul trouble to like really get going.
There was times where you could see him drive, and it looked like he wanted to pivot into that shot that you're talking about, but it just, it wasn't, you know what it is? He doesn't really create a lot of separation. So it's hard for him to, like, it's just hard for him to get his shot up.
Yeah.
Like, and I know that, you know, Cap wants him to shoot more mid-range shots.
He should.
But he should when it's available to him. But he's not the type of guy that's going to be able to get off that shot whenever he wants, because he just doesn't create the separation necessary.
Do you think he's a quick player? Like, do you feel like he could, because players think he's going to drive, that if he stopped on a dime and just went straight up, that could be his shot?
It could be, but that's a hard shot, man. Like, guys that make that shot, like, that's not an easy shot. I mean, anybody that plays ball,
they don't have the defender on them. Like, if you drive and then stop on a dime, your defender's still moving. So you have that time to put up the shot.
Nah, I know that. But the shot itself is a difficult shot. Like, once you stop on a dime, set your feet and make the shot, especially when he's not really a guy who seemed to have that mid-range shot calibrated, he just got to work, bro.
Yeah.
He got to work, man. That's all I can say about that, bro.
Yeah.
Like, he got to work, man. A lot of work to do. I mean, it's going into, it's year 4 now. What? Yeah. 4.5 now.
But what's everybody keep saying? He's young. He's young. He's only.
And he is young.
But so what? So what?
Yeah, I mean, so what? I agree with that too. But he is young. He knows he's not that talented. He says that he's not the most talented.
He just does say that he needs a lot of work. He doesn't.
He just gotta work harder than guys, man, and really get his game up, bro. Like, I don't know. I mean, the mid-range game will help him a lot, but he got to be able to create enough space to even get to that shot.
Yeah.
Like, and the few times we see him shoot a step back, it just doesn't look, it looks weird. Yeah. doesn't look great. It looks awkward.
It looks weird for two reasons. One, we're not used to seeing him take it. And two, he's not used to taking it. So he's not confident in it. So yeah, it's gonna look weird. He needs to do it more, like you're saying. Like, he needs to get in the gym and just find that mid-range shot. And I think it will change the way he plays the game. Because he drives all the time. And what he does that I don't like is every time he drives, he tries to get that body to get the foul and doesn't focus on the actual shot. Like, I feel like if you start scoring, those calls will start coming to you.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he's trying to get the call, and Quickly used to do that. You don't see Quickly do that anymore. So, like, I feel like RJ has a, like you said, he does have a lot of work. He has a lot of figuring out to do.
And I mean, tonight, let's see, 24 minutes, 2 of 8, 0 of 3 from 3. One rebound. And this is the part that I think really bothers me more than anything else, because it's the part of his game that, outside of the mid-range shot, it's the part of his game that I think would help him a lot. It's his playmaking, man. We know he can pass.
Yeah.
Like, we know he's not a bad passer. When he's actually – I said a few shows ago, can't remember if you were on the show or not, the games where he has big games, everything is clicking. His playmaking, the shot, everything. And we see games where he makes all the right decisions, makes all the right rim reads, whether it's a lob, a kick out to the corner. And then in games where he doesn't have anything going, it's just tunnel vision, shot, 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 and he doesn't see anything else. And it's, you would think the game would slow down enough for him now where he would have that figured out.
Maybe it's slow. His assignment for the night. Because he's guarding different players, maybe he's focused on the defensive side of things. And because tonight he had 5 personal fouls. I think he got lost in the defense assignment and really couldn't figure out his offense.
I mean, maybe, but then, like, he's not exactly, like, stopping people either.
But this is what I'm saying. Like, I think the assignment was too much for him.
I mean, it seems like the assignment is too much.
Yeah.
In regularity. Too much regularity, bro. Wow. It seems like the assignment is too much. I mean, the step back that he's taken on defense is probably the most disappointing part of his game. Because the efficiency, I think he's shooting 43%. The efficiency is not exactly in the dumps, right? And he averages 20 points. If he didn't take this enormous step back defensively, I would be able to stomach the 20 points per game and 43% from the field and whatever it is, 32% from 3. But the defense is just so bad, bro.
It is.
Hi, everybody.
That's good.
It's RJ talk. I had a quick point, and I'll get out of you guys' way. I just think RJ's overthinking. I don't know what the hell's going on with him.
This is what I'm saying.
He's not playing basketball. He's thinking basketball. So I think once he gets to the point where he enjoys it and plays just freely without thinking so much, I think right now so much going on, I think he's worried about losing his roster spot or his rotation.
That's not gonna happen though, bro.
I think he could be worried about a rotation change. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that I could come up with.
I mean, the rotation has already changed. If that's what he's worried
about. Sure. I mean, the way Hart played tonight, if he continues to play like that,
exactly,
on both sides of the floor, you gotta think that RJ is gonna be playing with the bench or not more.
I guess what I'm saying, though, is that the rotation the last two games is already changed. Mm-hmm. Like, his minutes are instantly, the minute Hart got here, his minutes were down.
Right.
You know what I mean? But the minutes wouldn't be down if he wasn't playing the way he was playing. We know Tibbs mm-hmm. loves the kid.
Yeah.
If the kid performs, he'll be on the floor. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be him or Quickly, right? And there's going to be some nights where maybe Josh Hart doesn't have it, and he won't be in there. Right?
Right,
but it's gonna be Hart or Quickly. It's gonna be Hart or Barrett most nights, right? I said last night or the other night against Utah, I thought it was Barrett because just the sheer size of Utah, mm-hmm. and Tibbs didn't need his size tonight, and Quickly had it going, especially in the second half.
Yeah. I just think eventually he'll settle in, especially once he get used to these guys. And, you know what I mean? Hopefully he'll get it back to who RJ is, you know what I'm saying? Whoever the hell that is. But he has to figure it out. I mean, you guys know I'm a huge RJ fan. But I'm gonna call it out. If I can call everybody else out, I gotta call Julius out. I gotta call everybody else out. You know what I'm saying? So huge fan, but he's gotta continue to just trend in the right direction.
But what exactly are you a fan of?
What am I a fan of?
Yeah, when it comes to RJ, like, what are you a fan of? What does he do that makes you say, yes, I'm a RJ fan?
I mean, it's not a thing that happened last night. Like, I've been a fan since he was drafted. So, I mean, like, I've always liked RJ because, number one, he's a young player with potential. You know what I'm saying? He does a lot of stuff. He's a rotation player that we drafted. That's something that's rare.
And to be fair, Rick, like, he is productive. You know what I mean? Right. It's not like he's out there like giving you nothing. He didn't give you much tonight. But overall, he's a productive player in a rotation on a winning team. You know what I mean? Two out of the last three years, he's been a productive player on a winning team. I mean, we might not like the way the production looks some nights, because some nights, it, quite frankly, it doesn't exist. But, I mean, you don't average 20 just on a whim. Like, right. He averages 20 because he's an NBA player. Right. Yeah. But he just needs to be better. He needs to make better decisions.
For sure.
I would like to see him shoot it in the mid-40s from the field instead of the low 40s. But, I mean, I guess it's just a work in progress. I don't know. And we don't know what the future holds. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's not a done deal for RJ. It's also not a done deal for his development. I don't know where that development happens, if it'll be here, if the team will be patient enough to wait that development out. But I don't know. But that's all I got. You guys have fun. Appreciate you guys allowing me on the show.
I guarantee he'll be back.
All right, it's only your show.
So, Joe, you said you wanted to start
our show, guys.
you said that you wanted to start with the negative first, and then we can move on to the positive. So, outside of RJ, was there anything else negative that you wanted to discuss?
The first half, the defensive breakdowns were driving me crazy, bro.
Yeah.
Like, how many times did Claxton just like run to the front of the rim and like there's nobody there?
Yeah.
Like, I was losing my mind. And then like they're fouling him.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing, but you can't foul him and let him
score. I would say the same thing.
He's a shit free throw shooter. Exactly. So foul him, yes. Exactly. But don't let him score the air one.
Exactly. 100% agreement. Like, I hate to see that. Like, all right, you get there late, you're gonna foul, but don't let him get the ball up. Like, stop the ball. Like, I think that I saw a couple of them do it. I'm just like, why are y'all doing that?
Yeah. So it's a struggle tonight for my boy Jericho, especially.
But he's learning. He's learning.
I see he is at 100%, bro.
It was one play I was so proud of him. I was just like, yo, look at this dude. He went straight up.
Yeah.
No foul. And then the ball was turned. I loved it. I was just like, yo, this is.
He stayed vertical.
Exactly.
He stayed vertical.
And that's what the refs are looking for.
And it's something that Hartenstein needs to get better at.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because he tries.
Yeah.
But he just has the habit, bro, of bringing the arms down. Once you bring the arms down, they're going to call it.
Exactly.
Every single time,
that's all
bro.
They're looking for. So
yeah. If you stay vertical, bro, they'll let you get that, yo. Mm-hmm. But once the arms come down, it's over, bro.
Man. But, what do you think of the officiating tonight?
I didn't think it was horrible. I didn't think it was great. I think it was just your run of the mill NBA officiating night. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen worse. Let's put it that way.
What surprised me and is that Dinwiddie, he got a technical foul for complaining to the refs about I don't know what he said exactly because the camera was off of him, but he got a technical foul early in the game, and I've seen Randall like go on and on and on to a ref and never get a technical foul. So
depends though, bro. It's the magic word, bro.
Mm.
he must have said the magic word, whatever that is.
Because I was
because they'll quick. Let you, yo, they'll let you say your piece, bro. Yeah. But it depends on what you say, man. So he must have said something.
He had to.
Yeah, I feel like Julius, especially like when you watch Julius get his first tech, and like he's still going.
Yeah.
Except for that one night where he just said, fuck it, I'm out. You know exactly what night I'm talking about, too. But he was having a monster game that game, too, which was wild. But usually Julius, he'll get his first one, and you'll see, like, everybody trying to stop him.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, he's telling everybody, like, yo, I'm good.
Yeah.
And it's like, he knows what not to say. You know what I mean? Like, I just got my first one. I'm going to still finish what I got to say, but... I would tread lightly.
I mean, I know, like, when you're in the game, it's intense. So, you know, little things like that, you want to argue your point. But I feel like never in the history of basketball has somebody been, like, complaining to the ref and the call gets turned over. So, like,
it's a payoff.
Oh, man, let it go.
But I do feel like I've watched games sometimes where, like, a guy complain. And then, like, the next call
is in his favor.
Is in his favor, but, like, suspiciously in his favor. You know what I mean? Like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Like, the refs owed you one. Yeah, I see it.
So, that's, I mean, I think that there's something to it, especially because sometimes they do miss calls.
Yeah.
And sometimes the refs will miss a call and know, like,
yeah,
I probably missed that one. Yeah. So I got you next time.
I owe you one. Like, because there was a couple of missed calls and a lot of like that. There was a foul that got called on Harkinstein.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And the dude barely touched. I mean, like he barely touched the other dude, and the other guy was literally pulling him into him. And he got called for the foul. He got the scratch on the arm to prove that, you know, the other dude was being physical.
Even the foul on RJ, where after he got into, like, a little thing with Royce O'Neal, and then he ran to the front of the rim, they called a foul. And it's like, I felt like they called that.
That could have been argued.
I felt like they called that foul on some shit like, let's not let this get out of hand type of thing. You know what I mean?
But like, don't call it before there's actually something there.
Yeah, it didn't have to be called.
Yeah,
because I don't even think that he was really like, I don't even think he was really holding them. Like, I don't know.
No,
it was just two guys running to the front of the rim.
Right.
It looked crazy. It was nonsense.
It was nonsense. They were physical earlier on. They were made witness of it, and they were just trying to see who was going to be the antagonizer. And
yeah, exactly.
RJ, but he really didn't do that much. So, like, I thought that was a bogus call. RJ was already having a terrible night, so they were just like, "Yeah, let's just give it
some, pour some salt on the wound,
so you know,
make his life more miserable." But I mean, I guess we could get to the good stuff now.
Yes, we have to talk about this guy, Jalen Brunson.
Ooh, man!
Another 40-point game.
36 minutes, 15 to 21 from the field, 6 of 9 from three, kind of uncharacteristic 4 of 8 from the line,
mm-hmm.
2 rebounds, 5 assists, no turnovers, and a block. I don't really remember the block, but a block. And, of course, 40 points, a plus 23, bro.
Yeah. He wasn't even the highest in the game.
No, he wasn't. Hartenstein's a plus 29, which is – I mean, he was terrific tonight, again. Like, can't say enough about this dude, man, and the way he stepped up. And I just hope that when Mitch comes back, we could get these same type of minutes, man.
Mm.
You figure it's going to be like 18 minutes a game, something like that, 18 to 15 minutes a game. I just hope that it's like this, because what we're getting from him now is just super productive, man. He's battling. He can test every rebound. And he was not doing that early in the year. I thought he was such a soft rebounder. A soft defensive rebounder, specifically. He was a pretty good offensive rebounder all year, but like on the defensive boards, like when he was in the game, we would get killed on the glass. It's just like, bro.
I agree that he did get better, but I still think that he gets killed on the glass. Like, I feel like he's always just like, even when he gets a hand on the ball, it almost seems like he can't control it sometimes to the point where he can get it. But I would say it's not always. He has gotten better at it, so you know, I don't want to make that point, but like, I do see sometimes I'm like, come on, man. As far as Jalen goes, I didn't see the first quarter. So, you know, when he hit 30, I was just like, he got 30. I think he got 30 in the first half, right? Or am I making that up?
I don't know why my mic muted. Yeah, he had I think he had 20 in the first half.
Let's see. Jalen Brunson, first half. He was 7 for 11. How much points was that?
I want to say he had 20 in the first half.
I was like, he was cooking early. Like, he was cooking early.
Yeah, he was going. He was going nuts, bro. And he had the one
streak tonight.
Yeah, he had the one move. On what's that dude's name on the Nets? Sharp.
Yeah.
Yo, I thought Sharp was gonna die, bro. Like, the knee buckled. I was just like, ooh, ooh. I thought he was trying to send that man back to the locker room to see a trainer.
He was, man. He was. He was not. And he was. Who was he talking to the most tonight? Was it Dinwiddie? Who was he? Or was it
Bridges? I know Dinwiddie. I know Dinwiddie and Josh Hart had a little thing.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter, and Hart, I don't know if you can hear it. The audio.
No.
Caught him. He said, "Yeah, you talking? And y'all down 14." I thought that was cool.
What can you say to that? He's 100% correct.
Yeah, it's just. The Brunson lob to Hartenstein, I thought it was big time in the fourth quarter when the Knicks really started making their push. Mm. Another huge play down the stretch I thought was Hart. He deflects the pass. You know exactly what play I'm talking about.
Yep,
he deflects the pass in the corner. No, not that one. That was the steal on one end, and then he went coast to coast back the other way. But he had a play in the fourth where he deflects the pass in the corner. Ball pops up in the air, kind of like goes all over the place. And then he ends up getting the ball and making a contested layup for the and one.
The fourth quarter?
I think it was the fourth quarter, yeah. It was an and one. I jumped off the couch. He had an and one, and then he like yelled at the crowd.
Mm. He came out.
Oh, no. Actually, I'm sorry. I got the plays mixed up. The play where he deflects the pass in the corner was the play where it ended up in what's the net? Was it Dinwiddie? I think it was Royce O'Neal. Ended up in Royce O'Neal's hand, and Royce drove, and he contested without fouling.
Mm.
I thought that was a great. I thought that was a great play.
Yeah.
Then he had the one that the play broke down, and it ended up in his hand. I think the ball got knocked around.
Yeah.
Knicks had it. Ball got knocked around. Ended up in his hand, and he caught the and one. So I'm getting stuff confused.
Yo, that play had me out of my chair, bro.
I told you.
When I tell you, I'm not gonna lie. That play had me, because it was like, you can't teach these kind of plays. He literally single-handedly affected both sides of the ball. You know what I mean? It was a full court pass. They tried to throw the full court pass. He intercepted it, ran full court, coast to coast, and caught the and-one. Mm-hmm. And then made the free throw. It was like, come on, bro. Like, and then there was another play he made where I think the ball just got knocked loose.
Man.
And he just went and grabbed it. my thing is like, yo, why don't I see that play normally? Like, I don't see anybody go and grab a loose ball on this team. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. So that dude's something else, man. Dude's something else.
Yeah,
and he gone. And y'all keep saying that he's not gonna play like this every night, but like he's playing with confidence. He's playing with his old teammate. So like there's something to that.
So he's not gonna score 27 on a regular basis, but the effort, all of that stuff that you see, the play that he made, deflecting the ball in the corner, contesting the layup, the interception on the full court pass, coming up with the loose ball, getting the N1, those are all things that you're gonna see on a regular basis because that's who he is.
Yeah, he's scrappy.
I'm impressed with how this guy gets no plays called for him, right? He's just out there like running around playing basketball. Yeah. And he comes up with 27 points on 14 shots.
Because he's doing what he's supposed to do. He's moving without the ball. Like a lot of these NBA players, when they come into the league, they feel like they have to have the ball in their hands in order to be effective.
Yep.
He moves without the ball. And
yeah, the back door.
Exactly.
Yeah, the back door cut where Hartenstein dropped it down to him.
Yep.
Like, yeah, bro, he's just.
You telling me if he was standing in the corner waiting to take a three-point, that would happen? Absolutely.
You know what he is, bro? Tell you what he is, yo. He's just a good basketball player.
Yeah, he is. He wants to play the game.
He's just a good basketball player. He knows how to play basketball. So, I mean, kudos to him, bro. I mean, I thought it was a great pickup, but man, I might have understated.
I wasn't sure how he was going to fit.
That's what
I was nervous about.
I knew he would fit. You want to know why I knew he would fit? Guys like that are going to fit anywhere. Like, he doesn't need the ball. Just put him on the court for other guys. Yeah, put him on the court. He's like Mikal Bridges, who didn't have his best game tonight. But you put Mikal on the floor with four guys, like, it's just – he's just going to play his role, right? He's a plug-and-play kind of guy. That's why Quentin Grimes – I don't even – even though Hart is great, I still think Quentin Grimes should stay in the starting lineup. Because he just makes things work in the starting lineup, bro. He shoots threes, even though he's been off lately. And he's a lot like Hart, honestly, in a lot of ways. So I wouldn't move him out of the starting lineup. I mean –
I think Hart got more experience and
exactly.
He got more size on him too.
You said he's got what?
More size on him? Isn't he taller than him? How tall is
Probably got an inch or so on him, I would say. He looks a little Hart taller.
6'4" and Grimes is 6'5". Wow. So Grimes is taller than him.
He just got bigger shoulders.
Maybe his posture is better, I don't know. But Grimes has been off, which is why he's only out there most times for defensive purposes. I've seen him get passed up on open looks, and then when he does get the shot, like he'll miss it or he'll make it, but you can't really rely on it. So I think once he finds his shot again, like I think he'll see a little bit more minutes.
I thought he was pretty good tonight though. In the 22 minutes he played, honestly, I didn't think he killed you. I mean, I thought his defense was good. It was a few shots that he was 2 for 5, 2 of 4 from three, and 2 of 2 from the line. 8 points, 3 rebounds, 1 steal.
Am I looking at the wrong game? Oh, yes, I am. What? No.
I think you might be looking at Obi was 1 for 4.
Oh, I'm looking at just the first half. I'm bugging.
Oh, he never changed it.
Yeah.
No, but I thought he had a few good, pretty good defensive possessions, and guys still made the shot. And I was just like, yo, there's nothing you could do about that, bro. I also thought in the second half, I thought he was terrific on Dinwiddie.
I don't remember the matchup. I wasn't really paying attention to that too much. Oh, which brings me to this question. As far as the Nets go, who do you think is the alpha, the go-to guy? You think it's so, Bridges?
I think personality wise, I think Dinwiddie is kind of like that alpha dude. Like, he's the veteran, and I think that he believes that he's the guy that should take the big shot.
I know he believes.
And he's made a ton of big shots in his career.
It's true.
He's made a ton of game winning shots in his career. But I think as far as ceiling goes, the guy who they should try to like really try to mold into something is Cam Thomas.
Mm.
I mean, because he's already got the scoring part of the game down. Shoot. He can score. So that's the guy who I think that
build. He was pretty good on defense tonight.
I thought he was okay defensively.
Yeah, he was pretty good. I seen him break up a lot of opportunities that the Knicks had tonight, and I was just like, wow. I didn't see that part of him when he was on the Suns.
Yeah. Oh, no, wait. I said it, right?
Cam Johnson.
Oh, I meant Cam Thomas. My bad. That's the guy I feel like they should look to, like, really try to mold into something. I mean, he's just a professional scorer. So, I feel like when I look at guys like that, I mean, he had, 40 points in, like, 3 straight games?
Yes.
Which is absurd. When I look at guys like that, I'm like, yo, what could I – in a team that just traded away everybody, I'm looking at him like, yo, what could I do with this kid to turn him into the guy who's going to be the leading scorer on this team, if nothing else? But
it's going to be tough because, like you said, Dinwiddie thinks that he should be that guy. So if you pass him up to do this young kid, you know, it could be
– Let's talk about Dinwiddie.
Okay.
Now that – so – Dinwiddie tonight, right? To me, this is a typical Dinwiddie game. 28 points, right? We know he could fill it up, but 28 points on 21 shots, 8 of 21. Like, I don't know, 3 of 10 from 3. Like, he's never really been, like, efficient.
Hmm.
And that's why I wouldn't want him to be, like, my lead guy. I mean, if he's your lead guy, you're a losing team. I hate to say it. And it's no offense to him, but he's a great role player, bro. Yeah, it's certain guys, right? And I think Randall, to a smaller degree, is victim of it. If you give them too much, they lose effectiveness, right? Like, one could argue that. Even though Randall 25 and 11 is great, like, you could argue he's probably got just a little bit too much responsibility. And last year, in the last 2 years, had way too much. Like, Brunson is kind of saving him from himself this year.
Mm.
The turnovers are down this year. That's not a coincidence. How many did he have tonight? Just one turnover tonight. The Knicks as a whole don't turn it over much. I think Clyde said tonight, or Mike Green said tonight, they're third in the league in turnovers. Yeah,
that's surprising to hear.
Nah, it's not surprising. You want to know why? One, I mean, if you watch the games, they don't turn it over a ton. They turn it over in terrible moments sometimes.
Yeah, but they don't turn it over a ton. More impactful. But but Julius Randle had like 6 turnovers the other night.
The other night, yeah.
So it's like it's hard not to feel that way when you see that.
Yeah, it's. Let me see what is Julius' turnovers looking like this year. I know they're down. I could watch the games and know that they're down.
Yeah, they're definitely down because he's not bringing the ball up every play. That's why.
This year he's under 3 turnovers per game, and we're used to him being up around 4, 4.5. Yeah. Right? So. Yeah, I could do it. I could live with 3 turnovers a game from Julius.
Wish he wouldn't.
If they didn't happen, sometimes the other problem is all 3 happen in the fourth quarter. But again, bro, that just goes back to like a guy having maybe more than they're able to eat off their plate, bro.
Yeah. Got some comments in the chat.
I was waiting for the chat to wake up a little bit.
Big task.
Oh, absolutely, Harry. What's good, OG? Yeah, the inner Big Apple turnover definitely comes back every once in a while. But you want to know something, bro? Like, I live with it. He's here. He ain't going nowhere. He's here. He ain't going nowhere. Right. So I'm cool with it, bro. Like, I feel like he does a lot more good than bad.
Did he get injured tonight?
He came up a little gimpy on one play, but
I heard he went to the locker room. I was like, Randall ain't on the floor. Then they play him 40 minutes again.
How many minutes did he play tonight? I'm pretty 32. Sure he was in the 32. Good for him, though, bro, because he needed a night. Like, yo, speaking of which, can we talk about Tibbs taking his starters out with 4 minutes left?
Yeah.
With 3:51 to go. Like, who does – when does Tibbs do that?
I mean, it was up.
Yeah, but bro, we've seen them up 20, and like those guys are in there until like the last minute. Like, what do you think is gonna happen, Tim?
Just in case.
I guess so. We seen where the other team waved the white flag, and he still kept the starters in there. Josh Hart was terrific tonight, bro. We were just talking about it. 27 points. 10 of 14 from the field, 5 rebounds. Like, I don't know what more to say about this guy.
They loving it.
Two assists, a steal, like, plus 25. I don't know, bro. It's good to see. It's good to have a guy, right? I always say that there are guys who, like, every team has a guy like this, and why not the Knicks? Well, we have a guy like that now, and it feels good. You think Hart gets us out the first round? I don't know, maybe. But seeding is gonna matter, bro.
Man,
seeding matters.
I'm looking at the standings now, thinking like, yo, how are we gonna do this?
I mean, you look at the standings, I feel like we could definitely get to 6, maybe 5. 5 is not out of the question, I don't think.
I thought we were gonna place 5 early in the season, but when we went on that losing streak, I was just like, man.
The losing streak after the win streak, right? Yeah.
I was like, this is not good.
Right. I mean, I think we can get up to – it's possible to get up to the 4 seed. We're not catching Cleveland.
38.
Cleveland is 16 games above 500.
they on a 7-win streak.
That team's good.
Yeah. Yes, they are. And Boston's going to be a problem. Milwaukee's on a 10-game win streak. I'm surprised they dropped to number 2. Am I surprised? Did somebody get hurt? I don't remember, but yeah. But Boston, I know. Man.
But Middleton been out all year from Milwaukee.
He came back.
I think he came back again, though. Did he? I'm not sure. We need that 5th seed to get the Cavs. Knicks could take the Cavs. It's a lot, bro. The Cavs are a lot, bro. That's all I'm gonna say. It's a lot of size, especially the front line. It's size and skill, though. That's the thing.
You think we would have a better chance against the Cavs than the 76ers?
I think. Damn.
You okay with Boston? Nah, I don't want to play go Boston.
I think that we would have
first round.
I think we would have a better chance against the 76ers. But either way, it's a tall task to ask this team to beat either one of those teams, man. If we're being realistic. Yeah. And I'm realistic. I'm realistic about this team, man. So I'm afraid of the Bucks and Sixers.
I'm not afraid of the Sixers.
I'm not afraid of the Sixers. Embiid is.
There's no matchup for him.
It's a lot of meat and potatoes, bro.
He's good. He's a really good player.
Like when you could tell in that last game against Philly that Embiid kind of just made a decision. Right? you could tell that he made a decision like, we're gonna win this game. Like, he just started swatting flies like left and right. These guys out of here.
It's no matchup for him.
Yeah, he's a lot, bro. And what I think what really kind of killed the flow of the game in that game was, like, first of all, Maxey lost it.
Yeah.
Secondly, like, Jericho Sims never learned from his mistakes. The entire game, he had his hand in the cookie jar.
Yeah.
Just like,
got it, bruh, every single time. Yeah.
You can't keep putting your hands in front of him, bro. Like, he's going to rip through, and he's going to get that call 10 times out of 10.
Yeah.
And he's good enough to make the shot, too.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
He understands the game. He knows where to find scoring. So, like, he is just a tough matchup. And, I mean, same thing with Giannis. So, it's just like there's a couple teams that even if we make it out the first round, like, we're going to have a real tough round that second round. So, I mean.
And the spooky thing about Joel is, like, you foul him, you put him to the line, he shoots over 80%.
Yeah, he's a good.
There's just very few weaknesses in that guy's game, bro. His only weakness is Joel Embiid sometimes.
But yeah, absolutely.
And Joel is going to be out for blood, I believe, in the playoffs this year, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he's playing with a chip on his shoulder. I think he's pissed off for being passed up for MVP the last 2 years. I think he's going to be pissed off again because he's going to get passed up again for MVP this year.
Probably.
Yeah, bro. You might be right, Harry. Never mind. Yeah, bro. Joel is a lot, bro. Yeah, I'll take the Cavs. I'll take the Cavs.
Yes, but he is mostly the team. Like, you got Maxey, you got Harris.
Harden.
You got Harden. So, yeah, it's a tough matchup.
It's a tough matchup, bro. If we were better, no, rephrase. If RJ was better on as a perimeter defender,
yeah,
I would like our chances a little bit more. Like, if he was like a high level perimeter defender, I would like our chances a lot more. But I mean, he isn't, so it's I'll take Cleveland.
Yeah, I think Cleveland is a better matchup. They have some length, but like I feel like we can figure it out if we can lock down Mitchell. Like, I think it will become more realistic that we can win that series.
Yeah, but Garland is easy. Yeah, Garland is a handful. Like, Mobley and Allen inside, like, we give up a lot of size. Yeah. No offense to Julius, but you know, Julius is in there and he's expected to.
But they can't take Julius. They got no matchup for him.
That's true. That's true. When he plays smart.
Yeah, and he could bully
when he plays smart.
Him do it. Yeah, so I mean, that's what I say. I would rather them.
I think Julius is gonna have a little chip on his shoulder too. After that, he's gonna be more determined, I think, to prove that could work
in our favor.
It could work against us too, though.
Yeah, because then he'll just start doing boneheaded stuff.
And yeah, I just thought about it, bro. Oh,
but I feel like with Jaylen there, he'll prevent him from doing a lot of that nonsense.
Yeah, I think Jaylen
is a huge missing piece that we could have used.
It's like I said, Jaylen, a lot of times, I feel like, saves Julius from himself.
Mm-hmm.
Not a great night, actually. I'm looking at Randall. Wasn't a great night from Julius.
No, he was quiet tonight, which that's why I was 18, like, what's going on with him?
18 points. 10 rebounds,
still 32
minutes.
Up.
Yeah, but 7 of 17 from the field, 1 of 6 from three. Did have 4 assists, a steal, and a block. I don't think he killed you.
No.
I'll put it like that. And I didn't think he was terrible defensively either tonight.
He was a little lackluster. He looked like he was tired.
I feel like he had a few plays where he got caught in some matchups that, you know, weren't favorable to him. Like, there was a few times he got caught on Dinwiddie.
Yeah.
And it was just like, you know, he tries his best, but Dinwiddie is kind of a slippery dude, bro, because if you look, he doesn't really blow by anybody, but I think he's one of the best guys in the entire league at, like, exploiting angles. He had one play where he drove around Julius, and Julius was there, but, like, he just somehow got, like, a step at the last minute on him and, like, made a tough layup. He's a good player.
He is. That's why I asked you that question.
Just can't be your best player, though. That's all.
There you go.
If he's your best player, you're in deep shit, bro.
All right, what else we got? Anything else? That we should talk about? Emmanuel quickly. Like,
yeah, I
like
him, just, man. Thank he's, you. You took the good, words out of my mouth.
He's a good player. He's a good, solid player. Like, him and Hart off the bench, like, I feel like we could keep the momentum going from if the starters can get it going.
We have a legit 9-man rotation.
Yeah.
Obi didn't do much tonight, but, like, I don't feel like – some nights I feel like Obi, like, legit kills you.
Yes.
I don't feel like he killed us tonight. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, it's some nights where I'm just like, yo, this guy should have had that rebound. This guy should have made that rotation. I didn't visually see very moments where I was just like, bro, you got to get out to him. And he didn't, you know?
I mean, I usually think he's a good hustler. I think he makes a lot of boneheaded plays as well. And I think he wants to show everybody that he can play the game. And I think sometimes that bites him in the butt. Plus, he doesn't get that much minutes to work out his game any given night. So it is tough for Obi. And I feel bad because I feel like he would be a decent player if he can get it together, because he shows – signs of that from time to time.
Yeah, big task. Then when he gets on my nerves too, bro, I want to smack that that fucking goatee off his face.
Hart had 27 tonight.
The second half, bro. Let's talk about it.
Okay.
The second half, Knicks outscored the Nets.
Before we
go ahead, Ricky.
It was a couple of lead changes today.
Mm-hmm.
It was about 13 lead changes throughout the night. But, like, to your point, as we go into the second half, that's where everything started to change.
I felt like that's when Grimes really started to dig in against Dinwiddie. Like, he forced a few really, like, ugly misses by Dinwiddie in the third quarter. I mean, the Knicks outscored the Nets 35-22 in the third, outscored them 66-45 in the second half. I mean, that's your ball game right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's the ball game right there, bro. I mean,
biggest lead the Nets had tonight was 4 points. The biggest lead that we had was 25. Like, that second half, we dominated.
Yeah, definitely. I thought Hartenstein in the second half was terrific, bro. I can't say enough about this guy, bro. Like, he came here to be a backup center. He's basically the starter now, even though he's not actually starting.
Yeah, Drake.
How much RJ had? he asking that question with the box score right in front of him.
Yeah, he know. I think RJ had 25 tonight. Why? What's up?
Maybe 25 minutes.
Like, oh, where? Yeah, he had 4 points tonight. He didn't have a good night, though. He had, you know, I think his assignment was a little too much for him. Defense wasn't there. He was making silly fouls. So, it was rough for him tonight. So,
yes, it was.
He was thinking about what he was going to do for Valentine's Day. It was a lot going on, so we gotta give him a little break.
He was a plus 14, though. Oh no, he wasn't. My bad. He was a minus 7. My bad. I was looking for something positive, man.
Yeah, only three turns. No, that's not really.
Led the team in turn. It was just not a good night for young Rowan, bro.
It's all right, man.
Yo, but hold on, Dre. Come on, bro. Dre, stop. Stop, bro.
He gonna get Josh to come back.
But hold on, though. What's even the reason for this, though? Like, why? Like, this is just...
Because he's not a fan.
That's fine, but, like, I mean, he is on your team. Like, damn, bro. Like, damn, bro. You would think that... You would think RJ played for the other team.
I'm trying to see. Anybody else? Miles got some time. Evan got a couple seconds. Quentin Grimes, we spoke about. Sims, we talked. We got everybody.
Yeah, we pretty much got to everybody. I wasn't a fan of the first half, the way Claxton was kind of outworking our bigs, but
yeah.
At the end, bro, we prevailed, man. That's all that matters. Win is a win is a win. And we finally beat the damn Nets. Who's next? Atlanta. In Atlanta.
Oh, okay, yeah. I want that game.
Yeah, we talked about it. Like, we need to win that game so we could tie up the season series.
Yeah.
You don't wanna lose 3-1 to those guys. You wanna at least solidify that split. So that makes the tiebreaker a little bit more tricky. I think maybe the tiebreaker goes to conference records. I'm not sure. And then I know the Knicks play very well in the Eastern Conference. What you talking about, Dre? Hold on. What's Dre talking about?
I grew up in Brooklyn.
I grew up in Brooklyn, too. You got a problem with Brooklyn?
He's saying that he loved that we finally beat Brooklyn. I mean, look, being in Brooklyn, I still was a Knicks fan. So, I mean, I still got some people that I tease, like when they traded, what's his name, Irving away, I was teasing him. Then they traded Durant away, I was teasing him. I was just like, yo, who's you still going to rep this team? Like, this team is still the team in New York now? Like, it's ridiculous.
Yo, did you see that? Did you see the? Damn, I'm trying to remember who put it out. it was a female. I want to say it was a female analyst. Said that the Nets trying to take over New York was like when the Muppets tried to take over Manhattan.
Oh wow.
Wow. The Muppets tried to take over Manhattan and it failed and then just left Manhattan.
Hey. I mean, that's what happened, right?
That is exactly what happened, bro. Like, listen.
I blame LeBron because he made
I don't blame LeBron. I blame Jay-Z.
Why?
Because it was his vision, bro, to bring the Nets here. It was not a smart move, in my opinion. Should have left their ass over in Jersey, in that swamp that they called a stadium.
Nah, he wanted to run things from home. He didn't want to have to keep crossing that bridge.
He could afford it.
He could.
This guy brought him to Brooklyn and dipped out of there, bro.
Right?
He really did, bro. He
pulled out, like, what, the next year or the year after?
He was gone in like a year and a half. Yeah. He was like, yo.
Jigga really ain't shit, yo.
Yo, by the way, Jay's from Brooklyn, too. I don't know why he act like he was not born and raised in Brooklyn.
He rep Harlem, so he can't rep Brooklyn and Harlem.
Bro, the boy, he didn't get into Harlem until like he was like 10-ish. You know what I mean? He's a little Brooklyn head. Now he act like he's not from Brooklyn.
Yo, man.
Come on.
I'm from Brooklyn proudly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you
know what I'm saying.
Here you go. Where you cap from?
NBNS, man.
I'm from Nebraska. I'm the realest motherfucker from Nebraska. That's who I am. Look, we lived in Brooklyn and I was born in Manhattan.
Oh
He was born in Manhattan? That's news to me. I didn't know that. 35 years on this planet. I thought you were born in Brooklyn, big bro. So
I was born in I was born in Brookdale Hospital.
Oh yeah?
Lucky I made it out alive.
Word. I'm about to say that's not the spot you want to start life off in, but
it explains a lot though.
You made it. Jeez.
Oh, Dre was born in Bellevue. Oh, of course. Mom, didn't mom work at Bellevue Hospital? Mm. Yeah. I think my mom worked at Bellevue. And I think my father worked at Bellevue Hospital.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, Brookdale is... I have some stories about Brookdale. Brookdale does not have a... they do not hold a very warm place in my family's heart.
Yeah, those like sentiments are shared by many in Brooklyn, so you are not alone.
A lot of hanky-panky up there in Brookdale, bro. That's all I'm going to say. All right. I don't know, bro. You got anything else?
I'm good. Like I feel like, you know, it's always good to get a win. We got to keep getting these wins to move up these standings so we can get the right matchup. I'm glad, you know, things are looking good. Like I said it from before, I'm super nervous about the trade. So I think what we did in getting Harden and how he's playing with Jalen, I love it, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. I just, first of all, I just hope that what I would really like to see, right, to really like kind of cement this 9-man rotation is I would like to see Obi really kind of just kind of get it together, right? Like, and I'm not asking for like big time numbers, but like just be impactful, you know what I mean? Like,
it's hard for him to do that though, but make your point.
He doesn't need to score, I don't think, to be impactful. Like, I just feel like he's not really doing much of anything, and we're living with it because
he averages like 10 minutes a game, if that. How impactful can you be? If he could be impactful in that amount of time, he would get more minutes. Maybe.
That's true, too.
But he's not getting the minutes to be impactful. It's like
saying, he averages 15 minutes.
More impactful. Like, you don't get those minutes.
He averages 15 minutes a game.
15?
Wow. Yeah. I feel like you would do some things in 15 minutes, bro,
to impact the game. But you would have to.
He's not that type
selfish.
Of player.
Yeah, you would have to be selfish in order to be like, all right, I'm getting.
Nah, I don't think you need to be selfish. I believe that if you gave Josh Hart 15 minutes a night, in those 15 minutes, he would absolutely make an impact.
Yeah.
Like.
You think experience has.
I think experience is definitely a thing. I also think that what Josh Hart does is not just him like running around playing hard. I think it's a talent, right? Like, it's a gift that he has. And if it wasn't a gift, everybody would be able to do it.
True.
But everybody can't do it. So I don't expect Obi to be Josh Hart, but like, I wish, and maybe this is coaching too, I wish that he was in a situation where I felt like that play to start the fourth quarter, for example, right? The lob to Obi.
Yeah.
That looked like a premeditated play. That looked like something that Tibbs drew up out of. I wish that there was a little bit more where we could get him the ball on the move, whether it's catching a lob or just moving towards the basket. Because we see it. Like, you seen it the other night. He had the sweet finish off the Hart bounce pass in transition. He had a crazy finger roll today that almost went down in the fourth quarter. Like, this kid is an athlete, bro. If you get him going downhill, like, he could be an elite finisher. But it's just not enough plays that get him the ball going downhill. It's a lot of standing still. It's a lot of catch and shoot.
Yep.
And I feel like he's shooting 35% from three this year. Like, he's excelled catching and shooting threes, right? You shoot 35%, you've had some success. But I feel like this team doesn't create a lot of catch and shoots for him. And I don't feel like that's his number one gift.
Right.
That's all. His number one gift is his finishing, bro, and his athleticism. Mm. And the only way to exploit that is to get him headed towards the basket.
Right. And I see them shying away from that a lot because, like, he'll be open and they won't throw it to him, or they will catch him late, or something to that effect. So
did you see?
Yeah.
Did you see the play last night where he's like standing under the basket? Like,
yeah, yeah. And he got upset.
Basically, like, he looked like. He looked like one of those dudes, the air traffic controller. It's like, and RJ just, yeah. I don't know how.
Blame RJ just for didn't, that, though. Yeah,
he just didn't see him, bro.
Either, I think he saw him late and couldn't figure out how to get it to him. And so I think it was good that he didn't throw it to him, even though he saw him late. But yeah, I think that happens quite often. But OB, he's always ready for you to throw the ball up and he'll go and get it. So, I mean, I wish he would translate that into more rebounds, but I don't know. It's just difficult.
One rebound tonight.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think, like you said, he is an athlete. I just don't know how on this team he can get the time that he needs in order to develop that game, in order to be an asset to the team.
Yeah. I'm not sure either.
But that is it.
I'm not sure either.
We hit the hour mark, which I didn't think we were going to do, but you know, chat came through.
Yo, man, Come on, give us some credit too. We ran us a nice ship, bro.
No, most definitely.
We didn't have our orchestrator today. We didn't have our point guard, but you know,
I mean, he came in a couple times for warm ups, but yeah.
I came in for the huddle. You guys did a great job.
He popped in like he popped out like Willis Reed with the ankle. He made his first two shots and got up out of it.
Shout out to these guys, man. I asked these guys if you guys could do a show tonight without me because I won't be available. This whole time I've been running around doing stuff, but y'all came through, y'all did y'all thing. Appreciate y'all. Y'all got it out the way, so if I ask y'all again, it won't be as much like, all right, damn, hold on.
But, nah, so you know what, bro? We got you, bro. That's all I can say, man. Like the show isn't good hands.
Appreciate y'all. Appreciate it. And I've been watching the whole time. It's a hell of a show, man. It's a hell of a show, man. I really appreciate y'all. And shout out to Dre in the chat for bringing the noise as usual. But yeah, y'all go ahead. Y'all end out the show. Y'all have a good one.
All right, later, y'all. All right, so you wanna do it?
Oh, I would love. Well, thanks for hanging out with us on another episode of Guard Up Knicks. We play Atlanta when?
Wednesday.
So you know, I'm not sure if we'll do a show that night, but if we do, we'll catch y'all then. So until then, peace out.
Peace.